We'll just open with a word of prayer here quickly. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that by your great grace and mercy, you've just drawn us here tonight. We thank you for that grace that you extend to each and every heart. And God, we are confident in you tonight and in you alone that you'll have us to learn more of Jesus tonight. You'll have us to be enriched in your word, in the bridal calling, in that high calling. God, we just thank you that you'll tender each heart to receive this message fully. We thank you, God, that you are merciful and loving and tender, God, toward us. We thank you that we know your will for our lives is to soon embrace not just our Savior, but our bridegroom, our husband, Jesus. So we just thank you. We ask for an anointing tonight on every heart, whether here, online, whenever someone may listen to this message. And we just thank you for it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's good to be up here. I was just thinking as we were singing, and before I came up here, I thought, wow, this is January when I was up here and before all the crazy town started. But thankful that even though a lot of circumstances are different, this is no different at all. Same word, same God, same promises. None of them fail, have ever failed, or will ever fail. And it's just a contrast. It's a lot to think about, a lot to take in. But just so thankful that we can just dwell and abide in this word. We're in this world, but we're not of it. We're just passing through. Like our pastors talked about before, being in another country and a bunch of stuff going on, but I'm not from there. That's even true on earth. But how much more so, even in our lives seated in the heavens with Christ. This is all just temporary. But thankful that he gives us breath to draw, as he does, an opportunity tonight, if he tarries, to learn more of this wonderful word, more of his grace and mercy. So let's go tonight. I'm going to be in Psalm 116, if you want to turn there. That's Psalm 116. And this is a verse that's actually a question, and it's one that's just completely captivated my heart, maybe even more so these last few months, but for quite a while in my life. And Psalm 116, verse 12. Says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And I don't know about you, but when I read a verse like that, I just kind of stop. Hard stop. It's like, wow. I mean, you think about all the Lord's benefits toward you. And you think about, I mean, starting from receiving the Lord into your life, to growing up in him, to the circumstances that have you sitting here today, and I know we all have a story behind that, whether you've grown up in this church or, like myself, came from pretty far away to this church. I think about, I grew up in what I'll call a religion that was very legal. I initially did not believe in eternal security. I constantly was thinking of how I could resave myself and what I could do to earn God's favor and all of this stuff. Pretty stifling, I'll admit that. Very difficult, very frustrating, because deep in my heart, I knew I wasn't a good enough person to do that, not by a long shot. But then as the Lord grew me up, I realized, no, eternal security, that's on Jesus. That's because of him. Yes, we don't want to do bad things and everything, no, but salvation is in Jesus. And once that's settled, it helps. It settles a lot of things, actually. And then you just learn to grow up in grace and truth and knowledge and everything that's in here. So I'm thankful that the Lord brought me from, again, something very legal into just grace. And actually, even though the Lord was growing me up in grace, I think about probably 4 or 6 months after we'd been coming here, and we came here in 2006 in the fall, it's like a light bulb all of a sudden went off, like grace. It's like what it really was, what all the fullness of it. It's awesome. And I'm sure many of you have experienced that when you really, it's like, oh my gosh, it's all grace. It's just, it's a work of grace. That's it. So thankful. So when you think about, again, Psalm 116:12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? Well, we're going to talk about that tonight and fellowship in it. And I think about, again, from the guttermost to the uttermost, he's taken us all. We are all born in sin and iniquity. We all start out the same. We will not all finish the same. We won't. Hopefully, ones here will. But we have a lot of choice in that matter. And thank the Lord that we know the truth and we can make good choices. We can be, as our pastor said, wise unto salvation. Wise, because this word will make you wise. Nothing else will. So, I want to start here, and this will be a Bible study. I'm going to study some, look at some wonderful words in here. The word render. Render. Wow. One of the meanings of it means to return. So if you render something to someone, it's like they give you something and you give something back. And I always think about, when you think about the love of God, we always have to remember he first loved us. He was the extender. He like put love out there and said, will you? At some point, if you accepted Christ, you said, yes, I receive you, Lord, an offer that was extended to you. And again, as you continue to grow in grace and love and truth, that extending never stops. It's always there. He's got hands wide open. And hopefully we do too, just to receive of him. But that's render. It's a return. Now, it also means to repay. To pay off and discharge a debt that is owed. And wow, that's pretty big. Because the debt is sin. That's a huge debt, actually. But the payment was Christ, who had no sin, death on the cross. The giving of a sinless life for a life that's nothing but sin in the natural. That's a repayment of a kind that we can never even hope to. Wow. We think about this here. Jesus paid it all. Right? It says, all to him I owe. And this isn't out of obligation or anything. It's just, you talk about a free will offering. It's just a free will offering. I think back in the Old Testament when Solomon's temple was even being built. The people that brought things did it freely out of their heart. Love was what compelled them. Somebody wasn't ordering them around saying, you do this and you do that. Or maybe they had people that were telling them to bring certain things. But I mean, the thing is, they didn't do it out of some necessity, like, oh, I have to bring something. Not at all. They're like, thank you, Lord, I get to bring something. Wow, how exciting. And I hope it's exciting for us to say, Lord, I want to bring you praise, thanksgiving, joy, excitement in my life, because you live in here. Super exciting. God made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And this whole series, we've been doing this in Christ, where there's righteousness in him. Everything we have that's in him, it's because of him. He's in us and we're in him. It's awesome. Awesome. In Isaiah, Jesus was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. I would have been pretty tempted to say something if I was in his place. Thank goodness that was him, not me. But he knew God's perfect plan. He knew it. And he knew that's what would bring God glory. He knew that each of us here that have this high calling message, the desire to win our bridegroom, that's going to bring the Father glory. It'll bring Jesus glory too. It'll bring God the Father glory. The debt of sin was heavy. Yes, it was. the price equally heavy, a sinless human life. And when you think about an exchange, wow, we got the good end of that deal for sure. But the thing is, in the ages to come, Jesus is going to have a good end of that deal too, isn't he? Amen. All right, so the word render, still mining into this some more. This is like, it's not endless, but it's beautiful. It also means to restore and to reward, to make complete, sound, and whole. And isn't that what love does? I like it because love's an action word. Love in here and in our heart is not passive, I hope. Because Jesus' love for you is not passive. It never has been, never will be. The love of God for you, the Holy Spirit shedding that light in your heart for you to really see all of this is not passive. It's active, it's fervent, it's fiery, all that. This is what being in love in Christ does. It's a motivator. It says provoke each other into good works in love. Love will do that. It'll encourage you, it'll spur you on. And again, we love him because he first loved us. First. And you think about to love someone is wonderful, but to be in love with someone is an exceeding measure. An exceeding measure. And that's, you know, the husband and the wife. And as we know in the word and as we know in life, if you're married, there's suffering that goes right along with all the joy. It runs the whole spectrum, probably daily anymore. But thank you, Jesus. And to us who are looking for and loving Jesus' return to catch away his bride, this is a language between a husband and wife. That's spousal language. Everything between a husband and his wife is reciprocal, isn't it? And I love that because when I was thinking about this, the word reciprocal, I had to go look that up. And it's beautiful. This is from Webster's 1828 dictionary. And Noah Webster was a godly man. That dictionary has scripture in it, believe it or not. Not the online ones anymore. You look, I saw something the other day, a definition of something, and I was like, it was strange, even. Anyway, the 1828 dictionary. Reciprocal. It means corresponding, matching, complementary, equal. And I love this. Interchangeable in such a manner that each affects the other and is equally affected by it. How is that? That's the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can believe that. It takes faith to believe that. Because he's incredible. Equal affecting. It's mutual. That's what it is. That's that word, mutual. And again, thank you, Jesus. A couple of examples of render in the New Testament. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 3, I believe. 1 Thessalonians. Starting in verse 9. It says, for what things can we render to God or give again to God for you? This is Paul writing to these saints. For all the joy wherewith we joy in your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. This is a fervent prayer, fervent request, isn't it? Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face. I think we pray that way towards our bridegroom, towards each other, That's why we take advantage of meeting whenever these doors are open, whenever we can get here. Amen. That's a rendering. What can we render to God for you? Fellowship, loving his appearing, praying to see the faces of the saints, to see the face of Jesus. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 7:3. This is a good one. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 3. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. So again, this is mutual. One to the other to the one. And that due benevolence is wonderful because, again, this covers the whole scope of the joint sufferings, the joint joys, everything that are shared in a more intimate fashion. It's not anything casual about due benevolence at all. That's in wedding vows a lot of times. Something to take very seriously, but this is this word render here. Now, it also sometimes is translated reward. Matthew 16:27. Let's go there. Matthew 16. In verse 27. Maybe I'll start with 26, actually. It says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So you're seeing there's this exchange language already starting. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward or render every man according to his works. And again, works are just out of love. It's not an obligation. We don't look at doing things out of have to. It's more like want to, desire to, because it's love. The love of Jesus just works that in your heart. There's an outflowing of good when you're just in love with Jesus and loving his saints and just being in that fellowship. All right, back to Psalm 116:12, the word benefits. What will I render for all your benefits to me? This is an amazing word. In the Hebrew, it's a word in Hebrew that only occurs once, and these words are always ones I pay attention to because they're rare. And this is especially beautiful here. The word benefits, it means a bestowment, an act of grace. Wow. Isn't that a benefit, grace? A bestowment. It's a gift. It's the conferring of honor to someone. I tell you, when I was going through and studying this, I thought how this word can't be more perfect. Even the meanings of the words, they're amazing. Because you see how all this is mutual, reciprocal, it's bridal, it's everything like that. A gift, a conferring of honor to one. The gift. Yes, God's only Son, right? But then the bestowing of honor. Wow. I think there's a couple of verses in here that talk about glory and honor, actually. Let's go to Hebrews 2:9. So you're going all over the place. I love this. We should. It's good to go throughout the Word of God. Okay, Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. By the grace of God, he tasted death. He was crowned with glory and honor. There's a crowning when there's glory and honor. That's a royal rank. That's a crown. Like our pastor was saying Wednesday night, that's not a palm waver. That's a crown. That's a crown. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter 1:7. Let's hop over to 1 Peter 1:7. That the trial of your faith, boy, faith is a trial sometimes, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. There is so much, but there's honor with that. The king and the queen honor each other. We've heard about how they don't take their crowns off. That would be dishonoring. That's why when Paul says, hold fast your crown, we just do that by grace. We know we couldn't, but when we apprehend grace, we hold the crown. You have a choice. You can let it go. You can. But why would we? I don't think we would want to. And again, it's just grace. It's apprehending grace and the immensity of grace. Wow, back to this word benefit, an act of grace. Grace that saved a wretch like any of us, which we truly were before Christ. I was thinking the other day, I saw something where someone was talking about they weren't saved, but how good they were. It's not about that. That hurts me a little bit when you know someone doesn't know the Lord and they're just on. You know, you got to be good in Christ. And you're more than good in Christ. You have all of this wonderful, you have an honor bestowed upon you in Christ. Beautiful. Grace that led our hearts to be right here, right now, in a place that gives the full counsel of God to grow us up, to seat us in the midst of the throne with Jesus. I'd say unbelievable in a natural sense. Yeah, it's unbelievable. But faith will do it. And someday soon, faith is going to be sight. Won't need faith anymore when we see him. Won't need anything. We'll just have him. That'll be everything. It'll be so exciting. So, again, back to this question, truly, how can we render to God for all he's done for us? Well, if we go back to Psalm 116, go back there. Some of you might have been ahead of me on this one, which is okay. For race runners, some of you are running hard. All right, after verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? The next verse, here we go. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. There you go. And if you're happening to think that's just simple salvation, no. It's way more than that. Of course. Of course. So, Romans 10:9 and 10. We know there's confession and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You confess with your mouth. You say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I don't want to run this life anymore. Done. I want you to run it. Come into my heart. And you believe that. You have believing right then that now Christ has your heart and has your life. But then there's a further call, as we know, as I know God's will would be, that all would know, all won't know. But if you really think about the perfect will of God, he would that all men come to that full, exact, perfect knowledge. It's the word of God. But we know as we grow and mature, there's a further call. There's a summons to arise, to come out from among them. Amen? So this cup of salvation is to be taken to the fullest. That's to salvation with eternal glory. That's to become wise unto salvation. And when you think about it, did Christ not do everything to the fullest when it came to saving you? Amen. Yes, he did. He left nothing unturned in your life. The cup of salvation. with eternal glory is then, again, like we were talking about earlier, he extended this to you. And when you are like Rebecca and you say, I will go, and you don't put conditions on that, like, well, when I feel like it, it's not too hot out, things like that. There's no condition. God's love, he just loves you because he loves his son and his son's in you. We can accept the marriage proposal and live our lives to the purpose of fulfilling the word of God in the high calling. That's what the wife, and she's the wife of the Lamb. She's called that. She's aware of that sacrifice, very aware. It touches her heart. It means something to her. I mean, it does. Now, when we look at this word take in 1:16-13, I will take the cup of salvation. This is beautiful. And it just, like I say, lines right up with everything. Not surprising. It means to lift up, to raise up, to be exalted. Not kidding. Isn't that something? And when you think about being in love in Christ, you live a life to magnify the grace of God and lift up the name of Jesus. It says, take the cup and call on the name of the Lord. So you lift up his name. You exalt him. Thank you, Jesus, that we know this. Because again, he first lifted you up out of miry clay, out of a mess, big mess. He set us upon our high places. Places, there's many to explore, many. But they're ours, because they're ours in him. The place of jointly ruling and reigning in the midst of the throne of glory. What will that be? It'll take ages, ages and ages and ages. What will it be to be there? Wow. I was thinking back to the ark with its mercy seat. When it moved, it was lifted up and carried. It came to rest certain places, but when it was traveling, remember it had poles or those staves that went through rings that were in the side of it. And I know we've had really sweet studies on how bridal that is, those rings, like wedding rings. They were in the side of that ark, Christ having his side pierced at Calvary. There was a lifting up there. And I know this is physical stuff with the ark and everything, but it's hugely spiritual. And I know you guys see that. But even that, it was lifted up. And then it came to rest at different places. Thank you, Jesus. And again, the call in our lives is rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Now it is the cup of salvation. I was thinking about a cup. It's a vessel that holds liquid. You put it to your lips and you drink. And your lips touch the rim or the brim of that cup. There's a beautiful passage. Let's go to 1 Kings. I'm going to go back to 1 Kings. This might seem like a little bit of a rabbit trail, but you'll see it's a good rabbit trail. Because it's talking about something that was in Solomon's temple. It's called a molten sea. 1 Kings 7. 26. Okay. So it actually, I won't read from this, but if you want to go back, it's talking about the molten sea begins in verse 23 of 1 Kings 7. But 26 is actually the verse I kind of want to hone in on here. And we'll see how this is like. This we'll come and join in with the cup. And it, meaning the molten sea, was a handbreadth thick. So it's pretty thick. The brim thereof was wrought like the brim of a cup. Well, there you go. With flowers of lilies. Wow. That's a beautiful picture, isn't it? It contained 2,000 baths. So in Solomon's temple, this was a huge bathing like a pool. And 2,000 baths, that's people, that's huge. That's like Olympic-sized pool. But again, the focus kind of here, this brim of a cup with flowers of lilies. Now, when you think about that, a lot of times lilies adorned the pillars in Solomon's temple. They were around the top. They were like a crown. Sometimes there were pomegranates up there, all kinds of things that have a lot of spiritual significance. 1 Kings 7:22. We go just back a few verses. Upon the top of the pillars was lily work, so the work of the pillars was finished. You know, whenever there's a crowning, there's a finishing, isn't there? It's a good way to think of that. And it's always at the top. You have to look up to see the pillars. It's there at the top. You have to look up. We should look up. It's a good thing to be doing these days, because we certainly don't want to be looking down or around here. God's given us a lot of reasons to not even want to do that. It's like, mm-mm. But you think about it. God's pillar people. These are the overcomers in Christ. The Philadelphia church or Smyrna church. The pillar people. Those who stand tall and erect in the perfect liberty of Christ. This is how we stand. There's freedom in Christ. Freedom to love, freedom to receive love, to give it. It's all in Him. And again, this finished work, this is the finished work of the readied wife. It's beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Lilies appear 8 times in the Song of Solomon. We've had good studies on that. 8's that new creation, the bridal number. Either the word lily or lilies, one of those two words is 8 times in there. Lilies are, first of all, usually white. There are other colors of them, but oftentimes they're white, which indicates purity, wholeness, no spot, no wrinkle, no nothing. That word lily comes from a root word that means to be bright, cheerful, exceeding glad, to rejoice. Happy flower. Joyful, exciting. Lilies are often trumpet-shaped when you think of them. So much stuff in here. I can't even. You know, you think of this trumpet blast, the purity that's in Christ, the trumpet blast, the exceeding rejoicing. All of this is here. So you think about this cup of salvation. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Now, still in 1 Kings 7:22, that word finished. To complete, accomplish, bring to an end, to fulfill. And again, this is the fulfilling of God's purpose in your life and for His saints. The crowning, that joyous exaltation that is, again, the joining together with the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. When Paul wrote to Timothy, his son in the faith, I've fought the good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, the day of His appearing, not to me only, but also unto all those who love His appearing. That's a finishing there. That's a statement that's wonderful. But it's that delicate lily work, when you think about it, that's the crowning achievement. This is what it is. And again, no earthly gaze is going to capture that. We have to look up. Yielding to grace is how we render to God for everything He's done for us, for all of His benefits. We receive them and we return them by saying yes to the Lord's proposal, by going all the way, not withholding anything. Now, when you think about this cup of salvation, there was a bitter cup that the Lord drank at Calvary, wasn't there? Again, back to all the sin, bitter, hard, a bitter cup. He took all that into Himself. He became sin who knew no sin. He became that. It's amazing. But when you think about that cup, what I think, I know, in fact, He saw were all those lilies. Beautiful. He saw all of us there. It was bitter, but again, that glory, He saw through all that. He said, oh, but it's so good, because we're all going to be exalted someday together. That was exciting for Him, what He was going through, which none of us will ever come close to, not even close. It's amazing, saints. Death was swallowed up in victory at Calvary. We don't have to taste death. We don't. We just have salvation with eternal glory. It's wonderful. What a benefit. And again, what a wonderful way to just say, yes, Lord, I just take fully from you. That's how you render unto God for everything that he's done for you, that he is doing, that he will do. So kind of as we wrap this up, here's the question. How deeply do you want to drink of the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord? Not just calling him Lord, but bridegroom, husband, lover of your soul. How far are you willing to go, both in the sufferings and in the exaltation? As a mature son of God, as a readied wife. Amen? It's a privilege, saints. It really is, when you think about it. And think about, and again, it's wonderful just to rest and think about all his benefits, all the bestowment of honor and glory and everything that he's doing in your life right now even, and in what's to come. It's incredible. So, I hope that's been an encouragement to everyone. It was an encouragement I needed studying it out. The Lord just kept putting things together, kept building it. So, we'll just say a closing prayer here really quick, and then we'll, I think, take a break for a little bit before we have prayer meeting. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that by your great grace, we've just learned more of Jesus tonight, fallen more in love with him, just come to understand more of the depth of beauty and just all of your benefits to us, God, and just how we can return some of that to you just by accepting the marriage proposal. We're so thankful, Jesus, for everything. And we just thank you, God, for everything. All your benefits toward us, tremendous. In Jesus' name, amen.